have really great attributes, but as for playing basketball, they have all these faults as well. Well, I mean, he's given them the faults anyway. However, this was the intent of Inoue, the writer. He wanted to make sure that through the faults of the characters portrayed in the story, that he would be able to tell a very intricate story. And actually, rather than the strong points, the story kind of unfolds with the different faults that they have. And it's really a touching story. If you think about it, it's kind of like the world we're living in. All of us have, of course, good points, but we have weaknesses and faults as well. For example, we can look at a person and think, oh, that person is perfect. But of course, they always have some kind of fault. Maybe they're just always worried about something. However, our creator is God. And he, when we give our lives to him, is able to use even our weaknesses to do amazing things. And Paul actually reflected on this. He said that we are strong when we are weak because of God. People who don't know their creator and live a life that they're not acknowledging him, unfortunately, face their faults daily as such as that, and it ends up causing problems in their lives. In today's passage, we're seeing about people who have different faults, obviously, in their lives. And through their faults, it's actually caused problems. The various problems that have occurred in their lives are actually resolved through God's intervention when that is inquired of by them. And it becomes a beautiful story. That's what we're looking at today. Let's look at the content. Verse 1. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Here you can see the word Lord is repeated two times. In other words, you can see that the Lord is the one who has the authority in this. As for Abraham and Sarah, they were husband and wife, and they had major faults for them. They also had many weaknesses, and this has actually caused various problems in their lives, and we've already looked at that. Amongst those problems, though, God had always intervened and had changed it to something that was actually good. God is a righteous God, and he will never let us go. He always makes use of our faults and provides recovery and leads to good results if we trust in him. In today's passage, what happened was that this husband and wife, Abraham and Sarah, were quite old, but they now have this promised child. His name is Isaac. Let's look at verse 1 again. It says how the Lord was gracious to Sarah, which can also be translated as visited Sarah. And why is that written here? Well, if you reflect back on chapter 18, there was a story about three men coming to visit Abraham. Two were angels, and one was the pre-incarnate Christ. And at that time, Christ talked to Abraham and told him that a year from then, he would have a child. He said he would be back in a year, and at that time, there would be a child. So this wasn't actually a physical coming again, but actually how his promise came to be fulfilled through this. At this time, what did Abraham do? Well, he first gave the name Isaac to his son, which means to laugh. Why is it that he gave him such a name? Well, in chapter 17 and verse 19, it said God commanded him to do so. He says, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. So God had already told him what name to give him, and so he did what God told him to do. Furthermore, he also circumcised Isaac after 8 days, as God had commanded as well. Through doing this, you can see that Abraham truly realized that he, Isaac, would be his official person to pass on all he had to in the future. On the other hand, how did his wife Sarah respond? A year prior, God had told Abraham that next year around that time, his wife Sarah would have a child. And from the entrance to the tent, Sarah had listened to them saying this. How did she respond? Well, she responded by actually laughing, it says. And what kind of laugh is this? He was like, you're telling me I'm going to have a child next year? That's crazy. It was a laugh of unbelief. It was actually just a cold kind of a laugh in a sense. In other words, it wasn't a good laughing. She's like, I'm already old. To have a child in a year sounds crazy. She's like, what is this guy telling me? And that's how she responded and laughing. So she was laughing, though, in her heart. But the Lord told her, you laughed right now, didn't you? Sarah's like, oh, no, I didn't. She was probably terrified. But the Lord said, yes, no, I heard you laughing there. Why is it that God would be so concerned about her laughing? Is it that she was making fun of him? No. He was telling her, yes, you did laugh, and that laugh is a laugh of unbelief. However, I am going to turn that kind of laughing into a different kind of laugh, because don't want you to forget what you've laughed about now, because I'm going to change it into a laugh of joy when you actually have a son. Looking at verse 6, when Isaac was born, it says that Sarah reflected, saying, God has brought me laughter. What kind of laughter is this? This is the true kind of like gratitude and praising type of laugh for God. You can see that her laughter was changed. And the people and everyone who hears about this will laugh mid me. And they'll be laughing, oh, it's so great she was blessed in this way. At this time, Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was 10 years younger, so 90 years old. In chapter 18, it says that she had already stopped the ability to be able to have children. So the possibility of her having children was zero. And when that came to pass, God stepped in and did his miracle work. If there was still even a slight possibility that it could have happened from a human perspective, she could have had in her heart pride that she had done something. However, God didn't even allow that chance to exist. She was totally in the hands of God. And in this way, we can see that it was 100% God's grace that this child was born. When Isaac was born, Isaac and Sarah would have been truly grateful from their hearts, I believe. This could have been the happiest day of their life. Unfortunately, this joy didn't last long. In verse 8, and they're referring to Isaac here, it says, when the child grew up and was weaned, on the day Isaac weaned Abraham, held a great feast. In the Jewish festival, the child was weaned. Children were weaned at the age of after 24 months, and so that would have been 2 years. Because at that time the death rate for young children was quite high, so to have a child last even 22 years was definitely something worth celebrating. However, there was something that happened shortly after that kind of didn't make that so exciting. It says, but Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had born to Abraham was mocking. So this the son he's talking about is Ishmael, whom Hagar had had. And this was a child who was born out of the disbelief of Abraham and Sarah. as a child, God had promised a child would be born to Sarah and Abraham for many years by God, but it never happened. And so Sarah decided that she would just take her young slave from Egypt and give it to Abraham. And in that way, a child could be born to pass on their heritage. This was Sarah's plan, and Abraham went along with it. And the result of this was that Ishmael was born. This Ishmael, however, is the cause of a problem that came up right after this great feast is mentioned. Verse 9, but Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne him to Abraham was mocking. And so mocking actually here means not just jesting with or laughing at, but to make fun of with evil intent. And this was a scene. As for Hagar, when she was pregnant with the son of Abraham, she actually started to look down on Sarah, who was Abraham's wife. And it seems that that was just how she was. And it's possible that Ishmael took on that same kind of character. As for Ishmael, until Isaac was born, he got to receive all of his father's love. If he hadn't, then he wouldn't have been able to take on his lineage. However, since Ishmael had had all this love from his father, he was now teasing because he didn't want to lose it, because all this love all of a sudden was transferred instantly to Isaac. For Ishmael, this would have been a huge shock. And with this in mind, he took action and started teasing his baby brother. He must have been 16 years old, and his brother Isaac would have been 2. So this is like a high school boy giving a 2-year-old a hard time. This is kind of crazy, and because if you just left him alone, he could have easily killed him. So that's what Sarah started worrying about. Verse 10, she said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son. And to get rid of here means to, like, an emphatic form of Satan, just like, get them out. And verse 11, the matter distressed Abraham greatly, it says. Of course it would have. For Abraham, Ishmael was also his son. Of course, Isaac was too. And here he was being told to get rid of his son, just like toss him out. He's like, I can't do that, he would have thought. And that in that way, Abraham was greatly distressed. In verse 12, though, it says, but God said to him, do not be distressed by the boy and your slave woman. Listen to what Sarah tells you and do what it is, she says. And here you can see something amazing about Abraham. This would have been something human from a human perspective he could have never done. But when God told him to do it, he did exactly what God said. He couldn't deal with it from a human perspective. But when God, the Lord, told him what to do, he did exactly what it was that he was supposed to do. It's possible that in Jeremiah, you've read this verse before, 42:6, whether it is favorable or unfavorable, we will obey the Lord our God. So even if something is good or something is bad, if the Lord says to do it, do it. He says, in doing so, then they can receive joy. Even if you don't understand why it is that God says something, to do it means that you will be blessed. To follow the Lord and what he says means that you will be recipient of the blessing he has in store for you. Looking at verse 14, it says, early the next morning. So you can see how Abraham took action quite quickly. It says, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. So Sarah said, get rid of them, like, send them out. But Abraham didn't do it in that way. He, like, sent them out. in a very kind and loving way. In God's hands, he let them go. He sent this mother and her son out into God's hands, in a sense. And if you look at this, it says that God was with the boy as he grew up. So he was with Ishmael as well, because Abraham sent him out in God's hands. He grew up, it says, and he lived in the desert and became an archer. The people, the descendants of Ishmael would form 12 tribes in the future and go from Egypt all the way up to the Euphrates River, which would have been a huge area, and they lived a nomadic lifestyle there. Then, how is it that Isaac and Ishmael lived thereafter? It would have been easy to think that Ishmael and Isaac would have been at each other's throats. However, because Abraham sent Ishmael out in God's hands, that's not what happened. Even though this was a very adverse circumstance, God intervened. For example, if you all go all the way up to chapter 25, when Abraham dies, it says as follows, that Abraham breathed his last and died at an old age, an old man full of years, and he was gathered to his people, his sons Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah in Mamre, in the field of Ephron, son of Zohar the Hittite. In this way, when Abraham died, both Isaac and Ishmael contributed and worked together, cooperating to deal with his father's body and to bury him. If you read even further in the Bible, it refers to the birth of Esau and his brother, and how this was through Ishmael's daughter. If Isaac and Ishmael had been at each other and in anger, then this relationship couldn't have happened. But because they did have a good relationship, they were able to. Ishmael was able to give his daughter in marriage to become Esau's wife. They left everything to God, and God blessed them in return. Humans have all kinds of problems and cause all kinds of great things. However, with God's intervention, this actually creates a very beautiful story. There was a woman a while ago who asked me a question. And what kind of question did she ask? She said that when she looked into the world, she could see all kinds of tragic, crazy, absurd things taking place. For example, there are people who are just born blessed, it seems. They just live a wonderful life and they can get anything they want. However, there are some people who are born and have just a terrible life just from the start. This isn't even fair. Like they just start out at totally different places in life. How is it that God could let such a thing happen? If he is such a righteous God, why does he allow people to live in such terrible circumstances starting out that way? Also, when you look in the world, you can see there's some people doing really bad things, but then they're like living happy lives, it seems. And there's people who are very grateful and righteous, and then they just have terrible circumstances. How can God just allow this to happen? And she kept saying, you know, I've talked to various pastors about this, and no pastor has ever been able to tell me why this is. So she asked me, like, well, what do you think? So I responded to her and said, I too am not going to be able to give you an answer that is going to satisfy you. The reason why you can't agree with what the other pastors are telling you, though, is probably not because of what they're telling you, but your view of the world. Because this world was not made to please you. The owner of this world is the Lord God. The Lord God is created this world to please himself for his own satisfaction. And we, as we don't know exactly why, we are living in a time where things happen that we can't understand. As you just said, you know, I can't explain this, you know, explain this to me. And you're in that way seeing or placing yourself above God. You're just saying, you tell me, you know, telling to put God down in on this seat and placing yourself above him. And having that type of attitude is what the Bible calls sin. And if you continue to have sin in your life, you're going to have to face that for eternity. And I thought as I was a little answering a little stronger to her, but she said, oh, okay. In Japan, there's the first one of the first people involved with AI research is by the name of Masabata. And he actually used a very updated AI machine. How can we resolve global warming? And what did the AI robot respond? And they responded, just eliminate all humanity. Well, that's true. So there's all kinds of questions that would have the same answer. How do you get rid of war? Well, in order to get rid of war, you get rid of humans. Then there's not going to be any more war. How do you get rid of poverty and all kinds of discrimination and ethnic problems and other things? Well, all you do is you get rid of humans. Get rid of humanity, and then the problems are gone. In other words, all kinds of problems are caused by humans. And it's caused by human self-centeredness. They don't look to God. And they think of themselves as God, and that itself is sin, and that is the cause of these problems. However, God isn't going to just let humans do whatever they want for however long they want. As the Bible prophesies, there will be a day when this will come to an end. It is when Jesus Christ returns and there will be the final judgment. At that time, God will pronounce final judgment with his righteousness, and it will be 100% fair. So for us sinful people, we do live in a world that is broken. However, we need to repent and to let God come into our lives. And in such a way, God can turn our stories into a wonderful story. Let's learn from Isaac and Ishmael and reflect on them, realizing that we have weaknesses in our lives and we all face all kinds of trouble. But by repenting and receiving God's grace, God can turn these terrible things into something that is good and beautiful. Let's remember that as we walk forward this coming week and in the future. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to learn from this story we just heard and realize we are very sinful. We hurt others. We get hurt ourselves. And there's all kinds of things that we can't even fix. But we know that when your blessing and grace flows through us, that we can be recreated. You can recreate the story of our lives because you are our creator. Lord, please allow us to remember this and listen to you closely as we walk forward. Please, Lord, soften our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's pray for a moment together in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. We have a few announcements and we'll close. First, we would like to welcome a visitor. Please stand when your name is called.